For those joining us or logging in, if you're here for the first time, we want to welcome you to Victory Outreach Milwaukee. On behalf of our senior pastors, Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene, and always on behalf of Jesus, amen. As I come up here, just want to share briefly, I've been saved for 10 years, and I say serving the Lord for 8, because it was 8 years ago, my wife and I, we packed our bags in the city of Chicago, we came to the city of Milwaukee, and we haven't looked back ever since. But the Lord stepped into my life at the young age of 22 years old, and I've never looked back. Amen. I always I'm grateful for my beautiful wife. I know she's watching there online. Amen. Love, I love you. Thank you for being with me, supporting with me. We have a beautiful child, and so I'm just grateful for what the Lord is doing. I'm always grateful for Victory Outreach Milwaukee. Want to give a quick shout out to our Victory Outreach Men's Home, amen, who keeps me on my toes, and I just love spending time with the men and watching them being discipled in the things of the Lord. And lastly, I'm always grateful for my pastor, amen, and my pastor's wife, the Reina family, who's just dear and special to this church. So I just want to say thank you, Pastor, here this night, just for a privilege. With that being said, go ahead and grab your Bibles, and I just want to say all that to make mention that we encourage you at this time, not just to sit there, but to be ready and receive, so that one time you can give this message to someone else. I remember when I got saved, I would want to hear, and whatever I heard, I would give, and I would try to feed someone else, and try to feed them the Word of God until I got on my own, and I started saying, wait a minute, I just want to feast on the Word of God. I want to get into the presence of God. But right there where you're at, go ahead and grab your Bibles, get a notepad, a pen, tablet, phone, whatever, and take notes and follow along with us in the reading of the scriptures and the reading of the Word of God to fill yourself with Jesus. Grab the Bible. If I make a mistake, you can say later on, wait a minute, Pastor Felipe, that's not what the Bible says. Amen. Challenge you to dig into the Word of God here this night. If you have your Bibles, we're going to the book of Matthew. We're going to the book of Matthew, chapter 14, beginning of verse 22. And I know that we're speaking in an area of a time to build here within Victory Outreach Milwaukee. And as we're speaking in an area of a time to build, I titled this message, A Time to Build by Keeping Our Eyes on Jesus. The title of this message is A Time to Build by Keeping Our Eyes on Jesus. And I want to share about how what we're going through here this night, wherever you may find yourself. I know that right now we're in the comfort of our own homes. You're in the comfort of your living room, a car. You may be driving somewhere. You may be at a friend's house, at a bedroom. I don't know exactly your physical location, but I'm going to speak about how as we're in this dilemma of a coronavirus, a pandemic, that something like this has happened before, though slightly different. We've seen things, and the country has gone through world wars, and has gone through severe viruses and plagues. It's been through ups and downs and nations, and if you look halfway across the world, other nations, and wherever you look at, different things may have impacted at times. So what we're going through, and I say this again, what really matters is what we learn in the midst of what we're going through. And I want to emphasize that no matter what's going on in the midst of this so-called storm, that for some life may not change. It's just normal as usual. Your life may have not been affected. You just go on, you go to work, you come back, or you're there at your house, you're not being affected, you just go on through your daily life. But I want to let you know that there's still, within the storm of life that rages on around us, our job is to still continue just to keep our eyes on Jesus. And I want to share within this story just about areas that we could learn, that we can understand, to help us kind of put into perspective really how we can carry this through and learn within our day. So here this night, are you ready to learn within the Word of God? Because if you are, go ahead and type amen, and I'm going to share with you here this night. Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, and it reads like this. It says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. So we just see here quickly that Jesus spent some time in prayer. And I want to just make mention real briefly that how many know you and I need to spend some time in prayer. Verse 24, it says, meanwhile, and now this is where it starts getting good. Verse 24 says, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. Then it goes on to say, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, somebody say fear right there in your very own houses. It's like they came across the coronavirus and they started panicking. In their fear, they cried out, it's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. I am here. I mean, know that Jesus is here no matter what's going on. No matter what the enemy says, the doctor says, the news may say, the governor may say, the president, Tokyo, Japan, Asia, China, anywhere else. Jesus always says, take courage, I am here. Verse 28. Then Peter called to him, one of his disciples. I think he was in Victory Outreach Men's Home. Amen. They shouldn't be quiet. They need to get loud. He was part of a Victory Outreach ministry. And he said, wait a minute. I need this man named Jesus. If he's around, ain't nothing going to stop me from calling upon the name of Jesus. Are there still some radical men and women here this night? Are there still some radical youth here this night that know how to call upon the name of Jesus? Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Verse 29, yes. Come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? It's interesting that Jesus said, he didn't focus on the problem. He said, why did you doubt me? So he reverted it back to himself. When they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. I know we prayed. Let's just go and pray one more time. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just come before you and I ask, speak to us. Carry us through this storm. Remain with us in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Right there where you're at, tell your neighbor, what virus? Amen. And then we're going to get into it here this night. What we find ourselves here within the story is that it's an interesting part of the story, because we see that, as we read a little bit before, shortly before this, the disciples just seen Jesus perform a few miracles. And the miracle that was right before this was Jesus feeding the 5,000. And as the story carries on, instead of the Lord keeping them there and continuing to minister to the people, the Bible records that immediately he just sent them off on a boat for them to go by themselves. Because how many know here this night, we're going to spend some times where we're going to be by ourselves. You're going to spend some time that you're going to be by yourself, whether it's right there in the home, in the men's home, a women's home, right there in the gang, a Victory Center, wherever you may find yourself, even in ministry, you can be around people and still feel alone on the inside. Because I know who I'm talking to here this night. And Jesus sent them off by themselves and he basically told them, you guys get away from me for a minute. I want to see how you react. And it's interesting what happens when they leave Jesus just for a short period. It's interesting when people say, I'm ready to leave the home. Why am I going there right now? It's interesting when people say, well, I don't need this Jesus. I don't need to go to church every night, every day. I don't need to continue and log in. I don't need to tithe. Jesus sent them off, and what Jesus did is he didn't just rest, but he got some spiritual strength. And you can ask, how did he get this spiritual strength? He went into an area called prayer. And my friend here this night, I'm here to let you know that if you're lacking in any area, if you're lacking in spiritual area, even physical mindset, even physical ailment, I may ask here this night, how is your prayer life? Because the Bible records that Jesus prayed all night. I mean, last time I checked, it's pretty hard to pray all night. I know that some people like to stay up all night doing the wrong things. If you were like me back in the days, you'd be all night partying, all night driving around, all night looking for the wrong people at the wrong places, all night doing the wrong thing. But then when it comes to the things of the Lord, at times we call it quits and we say, that's too much. I can't do all that. It's too much ministry. They're asking too much. It's always too much, too much, too much. Yet it was never too much for Jesus. You see, he was always intentional. And you got to remember, he was the master discipler. He was the man with the plan. There's a book that's called Jesus Christ Disciple Maker. And there's four steps that they give. He says, come watch me, come be with me, come see me, and then come remain with me. And he was teaching the disciples. And here we see a stage where he sent them off to see how they were going to remain. They were seeing the miracles. They were there where everything was good. They were there when they were enjoying eating. I mean, you know, we eat good in the men's home. I mean, you know, at times that everything's going good. You're getting paid. Your checks are there on time. Some of you got your government check and you're happy and you're rejoicing. But what we're going to see in this portion of Scripture is they're going to get into some trouble. And they're going to be by themselves. They're not going to have Jesus right next to them in the beginning. And my question is, at times when we get ourselves into trouble, it may not even be the trouble of the enemy. Sometimes we cause our own trouble. It may be our own trouble, but this we see that God was in complete control. We notice that Jesus had to separate to pray. And if Jesus, full God, full man himself, had to get into an area called prayer all night long, I mean, how much more can I stress this avenue of an area that's called prayer? I always say in the morning unto the men, and I'll say it until my face turns blue, but you better learn to pray. You better pray audibly. You better pretend to pray. You better do something to get into this area called prayer. Because last time I checked, nothing else is going to save me. Nothing else is going to keep me. Nothing else is going to get me going forward but the power of prayer. How many can say amen here this night? And if you haven't prayed, maybe you haven't developed a prayer life, I want to encourage you to start tonight. Start soon after this message, to get into an area of prayer. Pray right there with your family. Separate. Pray for 2 minutes, 2 seconds, 30 seconds. It doesn't matter. We're going to see what Peter prayed and how the Lord answered that prayer. So Jesus went off. He spent some time in prayer, because he needed the Father's direction. He sent the disciples off. It's almost like he's sending off you and I. And he's saying, there's going to be a trial. There's going to be a big trial. The disciples were stuck in some waves, and they didn't know what to do. And then they were panicking. And we're going to read in a little bit, there was fear. And even though Jesus was right in there in front of them, they thought he was a ghost. I mean, that's what fear does to you and I. Instead of believing in the miracles of God, instead of continuing going forward and pressing on, instead of going, instead of saying, you know what, I have to go to church here this night. Instead of saying, I have to log in here this night. Instead of saying, I'm going to invite somebody into the presence of God. My friend, what happens is that fear creeps into our lives, and fear grabs a hold of us and it distracts us. And instead of allowing the presence of God to overtake us, we allow the presence of fear within our lives. And they were blinded. And we're not really able to see what the Lord wants within our lives. Because here this night, Jesus, we see, was always there in control within the midst. But we see how the disciples acted. There's a quote here that I have. And it says, the inconsistent Christian is one of the devil's best workers. The inconsistent Christian is one of the devil's best workers. I mean, simply put, keep your hands to the plow here this night. We can't be on fire for God and telling people I love Jesus going to the bar the next day. We can't be saying I serve the Lord, I love Victory Outreach or whatever, a ministry, doesn't matter. And then before you know it, we stop going. And we have to remain consistent, and that's what we're going to find out here this night. Just because we serve the Lord doesn't mean our problems disappear. I'm here to let you know, just because you said yes to Jesus doesn't mean your problems are miraculously solved. And doesn't mean that everything just goes away. You're going on life. Everything's a bed made of roses. And then there's a magic red carpet treatment everywhere you go. It doesn't mean just that God opens the windows of heaven and takes care of your every problem, your every need. Because we're going to find out that the disciples found themselves in some trouble, though God was still in control. And they were serving the Lord. I'm here to let you know that when you serve the Lord, you better expect some problems. But Jesus is always there to answer your problems. Too many people think that if we serve the Lord, our problems should disappear. But it's not like that. This is a statistic that's true. I read it and I've always kept it, but this is true. Did you know here this night there is 160,000 Christians that are martyred every year around the world? I mean, count yourself lucky, count your blessings. We live in a nation, it's too easy to be a Christian. Everybody says I'm a Christian, but do we really represent? I mean, would you be willing to travel across the world and be one of those 160,000 martyrs every year that die for the cross? That is what's going on as we speak, halfway in the Middle East, in China, wherever, where the Bible's banned. Yet you and I have a privilege, an opportunity to carry our Bibles, to read our Bibles, but how many read their Bibles every day? When I'm going to drive this one home here this night, how many cannot wake up and cannot move forward without saying, I need to get into my word here this day. I need to get into my word here this night. I mean, there's people that are dying to read the Bible. There's people that are giving their lives over to the true gospel. And yet here in America, at times, we don't truly understand the word of God. Verse 24, Matthew chapter 14, verse 24, it says, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. Though Jesus himself was in prayer, the disciples were in trouble. And we have to know, when times are tough, God is always in position. Just because times got rough, just because times got a little bit out of the ordinary, does not mean God is not in control. And let me let you know here this night that too many people think just because you're in a trial that all of a sudden God doesn't know what's going on. That just because you're in a trial or in a situation, all of a sudden that we can't pray and all of a sudden we can't serve God. But my friend, I'm just here to let you know that God has always been in control. God will always be in control, and God was always in the center of our lives. He never moved from position. Even Jesus himself, the Bible records, still intercedes for you and I. I mean, what better prayer partner than Jesus? That's what he does for you and I. Even when we lose sight, God has everything under control. Because even as the disciples were in trouble, far away from land in a strong wind, they were fighting heavy waves, fighting temptation, fighting him or her, fighting drug opposition, fighting to say no to alcohol, fighting the temptation of cigarettes, fighting each and every single day, because how many know that every day is a battle to remain strong in the Lord? I mean, I don't know about you, but I want to grow each and every day. I want to get a little bit closer to Jesus here this night. Go ahead and wave at me if you want to get a little bit closer to Jesus. The disciples were in a fight, but God was in control. And when they got far away from Jesus, the trials began. The Bible records the disciples were in trouble far away from land. They went away, they got out far off, and they got into some trouble. They were far away from Jesus. I have a question. Are you far away from Jesus here this day? Or do you find yourself close to the Master, close to our discipler here this night? They were fighting for the first time without their discipler. They found themselves for the first time without their Jesus. How is it? How does it feel to fight without the Lord? I would say it's a scary feeling. It's one that I would never want to experience, because I know the Bible records He will never leave us nor forsake us. It's Hebrews 13 verse 5, if you want to write it down. In other words, He never leaves us. It's not about how we feel. It's about knowing the Word of God. Verse 25 reads like this. It says, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on water. 26 goes on to say, when the disciples saw Him walking on water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." So it's interesting how they weren't expecting Jesus, so they didn't realize who was in front of them when they saw Him. I mean, I ask a question here this night that too many times we want the Lord to walk into our lives. We want Jesus to do something when we want to, at our timing. And we expect the Lord to show up right now at this moment. We pray like that at times. God, I pray that You show up right now. When in all reality, God decides when to show up. The Bible records Jesus showed up at 3 a.m. In other words, He knew He let the disciples drift off for a little bit. He knew He let them fight for a little bit. He knew where they were at. And then He stepped into the scene. In other words, the disciples really weren't in control. Jesus was always in control. And the Lord knew when He needed to step in. Listen, here this night, I know we may be going through some trials. I know we may be thinking or panicking, when is all this going to be over? But my friend, I'm just here to let you know that Jesus is still in control. That the Lord is still on the throne. And when He wants to, and when He decides to step in, you better be ready and acknowledge to know who Jesus is. Because if we're not ready, and when we're out of position, we're not able to acknowledge, we're not able to receive what the Lord has within our lives. The Bible records they were frightened. In other words, they didn't recognize who their master was any longer. I mean, have you ever been there where you talk to somebody, you get angry at somebody, and you don't recognize that person because of anger has taken over, fear has taken over, jealousy has taken over, everything else has taken over but Jesus. And we're not able to look at someone how they really are. They weren't able to look at Jesus for who He really was. They went so far away as to say He was a ghost. I mean, out of all things, the people that spent so much time with Jesus did not even recognize their own discipler. Because of their circumstances. And here this night, too many times, that's what happens. That we allow our circumstances to control our lives. We allow one little area to control our lives. And before you know it, we're not able to see Jesus right in front of us. It's an area that we come into way too much. And I'm just here to let you know that Jesus is always in the midst. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." In terror, they were terrified, the Bible says. That word terror, this is what that word means. It's a state of intense or overwhelming fear. A very frightening or terrifying aspect. Another word is alarmed. Another word is anxiety. How many have felt anxious at times? My favorite scripture is Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. It starts off by saying, "Be anxious for nothing." I believe in that scripture with all my heart. Be anxious for nothing. Goes on to say, instead, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I mean, you know, we got to remain grateful. Every time you pray, you better give thanks to God. Every time, someone told me this a long time ago, I never forgot it. You better thank God like He's already going to answer a prayer. You better thank God in advance by faith that He's going to answer that prayer, that He's already heard your prayer, that you're going to receive in faith in advance, thanking Him for what He can do, because that's the God that we serve. But too many times we come to God in fear because of our emotions. What happened, what she did and he did it, what's going on, and my pastor didn't talk to me, and all this nonsense. Fear has taken over. So we're not able to approach the throne of grace with a boldness, acknowledging, knowing that Jesus is right in front of us. Too many times we don't carry the Lord, we don't walk with Jesus, because we walk with the things of the world. Fright, fear, horror, panic, or scared. That's a word for terror. How many know that's what the world is trying to do right now? Trying to produce panic, fear, fright, horror, and the virus this and virus that, and we don't know when it's going to be over, and stay in your house and don't talk to people, don't touch nobody, don't wave to your neighbor, don't go walking your dog, and it's fear trying to remove you from seeing Jesus, trying to block out who the Lord is within your life. What we see here is simply put that fear produced the opposite of faith. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. I love that scripture. I heard it from my pastor a long time ago. And I love it because I quoted of how he portrayed it. He said, we walk by faith and not by sight. And pastor always explained and broke down sight is our senses, what we touch and feel and taste, smell, see, the natural. We don't go by those things. We don't go by what we see. We don't go by what we hear. We go by faith. Faith should drive us. How many can say amen here this night? Because they focus on what they saw, faith left their sight. My question is, what have we been looking at lately that is draining our faith? I mean, do we have the faith to believe that the Lord is still in control? Do we have the faith to believe regardless of what happens? Some may have lost your job. Some may have been affected. Is there faith enough to believe that the Lord can get you a better job? Is there faith enough to believe that we still serve God, our healer, Jehovah Nisi, our banner, Jehovah Jireh, our provider? Is there still a faith that believes in who God is here this night? Because fear tries to creep in and remove faith from within our lives. Verse 27, I want to point out two things real quickly and then we'll close out. And number one is that Peter understood who was speaking to him. I'm going to emphasize on this one. Peter understood who was speaking to him. We find this in verse 27. It says, but Jesus spoke to them at once. The word of God went forth. I mean, the word of God is going forth here this night, but are you hearing the voice of Jesus? The Bible says, are you hearing the voice behind the voice? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to speak into your lives? Or are we tuning out and saying, I know who he is. I'm not going to listen to him. He's too young. I know these areas. I'm not going to allow to receive that. Instead of allowing the Lord to speak into your life. Listen, my friend, if the Bible, if God can use a donkey, if God can use a rooster, why God cannot use a man here this night? But you got to believe. By faith. It's faith that activates the word of God. You can write this down if you can. There's a quote. It's not mine. I wish it was mine, but it goes like this. It says, faith is to believe what we do not see. And the reward of faith is to see what we believe. Faith is to believe what we do not see. And the reward of faith is to see what we believe. So what do you want to see here this night? Verse 27 records, but Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage, I am here. And we see that Jesus spoke, even in the midst of our trials, Jesus is always speaking. And it's important to listen. We see that only one of the disciples heard Jesus. Maybe only one of them was tuned in, and maybe only one was waiting for the Savior. I mean, here this night, how many are waiting for the Savior? Are you waiting for Jesus here this night? Because we find that it was only Peter that really acknowledged. It was only Peter, the one that responded. As Jesus spoke and the word went forth, and he's the one that said, don't be afraid. The first words that Jesus spoke was, don't be afraid. And listen, hear this now. I find that too many Christians, and I got to say this, that too many Christians at times don't have the courage in times of trials to continue and go forth. That don't have the courage in times when things are not looking pretty, but they're looking a little bit ugly. that they don't have the strength or the inner courage to go forth. And I believe it's because too many times they're not hearing the voice of Jesus. They're not spending time in prayer. They're not spending time in that secret prayer closet. And they're not fixing themselves, the Bible says, on the eyes of Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for who the joy set before him endured the cross. Listen, hear this night. I want to let you know that when you fix your eyes on Jesus, you're able to take courage. Hear this night. You're able to say, I don't care what I may be going through. I don't care any outside circumstance. I don't care what he may say, what they may think. But I know that my hope is in the Lord. I know that I can have courage and a boldness in Jesus because I've been spending some time with the Lord, and where every time I talk to Jesus, he gives me a little bit of courage. Every time I get into my prayer class, I come out a little bit filled with faith. Every time I read my Bible, the Lord speaks to me. And hear this, how many want Jesus to speak to you one more time? He said, don't be afraid. Those were the first words that he used. And I believe it's the same thing that he wants to tell you and I in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of everything that's going on. How many know, as Christians, we need to be the first ones that have courage. We need to be the first ones that say, I don't care what's going on in the world, but my God is in control. I mean, if you believe that God's in control, you better type amen here this night. If you believe that God is still on the throne, you better shout in your homes here this night. We shouldn't be controlled by outside circumstances. Last time I checked, God said, don't be afraid. I say this almost every time. It doesn't escape. Too many people are still going out there waiting in line, buying thousands of rolls of toilet paper. Like if that's your number one need right now. Instead of our number one need being the Word of God, being a little bit more of Jesus, not being afraid. Taking courage, the Bible says. Jesus said, I am here. Peter understood who was speaking to him, and this is very important. Someone said this, and I looked it up to see if it was true, but there's been a pandemic. There's been an actual pandemic every 100 years, and you can look it up. I did the research. In 1920, there was the flu, the influenza, and it said that the recorded mortality rate was over one-third of the world actually died in that flu. It was 170,500,400 people actually died in that flu. It was higher than the pandemic we're actually in right now. In the 1820s, you had another one that hit in Asia. It was cholera, and it was something that traveled, and it was the same thing. It was another pandemic, and we see these things happening. But how are we responding? Because too many times we don't look or we don't understand the voice of God because we don't respond. Peter heard the voice of Jesus and he was willing to respond. But my question is, what are we responding to here this night? The one thing that we can count on regardless of what's going on around us, what the government might say, what people might say, what a job may say, or whatever else may say, is that the Bible continues to say over and over, do not be afraid. He told Gideon, don't be afraid. Take courage, mighty men of valor. And hear this now, you are a mighty man of valor. There's a couple of women listening. You're a mighty woman of valor here this night. There's some young youth, a generation. You're a young youth of valor here this night. He told Moses not to be afraid. Tell them, I sent you. He told people over and over. Joshua, he told over and over, don't be afraid. Take courage over and over. He said, don't forget who's sending you. And the Bible still records that Jesus uses the same words. To not be afraid and take courage. Hear this, not how many are not afraid, but take courage in what the Lord is doing within your life. The second thing that we see happening, I'm going to share a little bit and then I'll come to a closing, is that Peter tested the words that were spoken to him. And that's what makes the Bible alive. That's what makes the Bible living and active. Someone once told me what separates the Bible from any other book is you can stand on the Word of God and the Lord will not fail. You can hold the Bible up to the Lord, up to Jesus, and you can say, God, this is what your Word says. You can hold the word of, you can say, thus saith, you said this, God. And if you said it, you have to answer according to your word. That's what separates the Bible from any other book, any other thing, that's any document, that God will never fail you. I can write you a letter right now and promise you $100,000, and you can bring it back to me, and I might not be able to fulfill it. But whatever is written in the Word of God, you better believe that it shall come to pass. I love the scripture that always says in Isaiah 55, and I think it always comes up, where it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are higher, so my ways are higher." Because that's how God thinks. We see that Peter tested the words that were spoken to him. Verse 28. It says, "Then Peter called to him." And watch what this says. It says, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." Now, it's interesting. I'm going to share a couple things. The first thing is that he didn't pray to stop the storm. He prayed to get closer to Jesus. And here this night, we should all pray in the same manner. I think too many people pray, and "Lord, remove this," and "God, remove that." When in all reality, Peter did it. He could have prayed, "God, stop the winds and stop the storm, and why are you letting this happen?" How many have prayed like that before, trying to understand the situation? Peter got straight to the point, and his prayer was simply, "If that's you, let me get closer to you." I believe our prayers should change within these times. My prayers have changed a little bit, and I've just been able to sit back and listen and be able to remain still, the Bible says, and try to acclimate myself and listen to the Word of God just to get a little bit closer to Jesus. He didn't pray to stop the storm. He prayed to get closer to Jesus. I mean, that should be our prayer. To say, "God, no matter what happens, I want to get close to you." But too many times we pray limited prayers. We pray for the storm to go away. Someone said this one time. They said, "It's not going through the storm that matters, but it's growing through the storms." Because we're always going through something, but are we growing through those times? I mean, I don't like seeing Christians defeated and with their head down. I'm not like that. Why? Jesus was not like that. The Bible has too many good things for you and I to walk with our head down. The Bible speaks of how great God is, the promises of God, for us to walk with our heads held down. Because, the Bible says we are more than conquerors according to the victory in Christ Jesus. Peter heard the voice of his master. And he remembered. Now, he didn't remember. I believe he didn't only remember the miracles. I believe he remembered the person that first called Peter. And when he heard the voice of Jesus, the voice of his master, I believe that he looked back and he said, "That's the same person that took me out of the mess that I was." And because of that, he had the faith to believe, if that's the same person that took me out that mess, and if he's the one speaking to me here this day in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial, then if that's you, Jesus, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Because I believe he never forgot where he was. He never forgot where he came from. He never forgot the mess that he was in. Because if you study that life, Peter failed. And Jesus called him out and he said, "I'm giving you one more chance." And Peter held on to that thought. And he's the one that was able to recognize and remain grateful and acknowledge. And he was able to say that Victory Outreach gave me one more chance. That my pastor gave me one more chance. That I'm grateful that the Lord has given me one more chance. But too many times we can forget the mess that we were in. We can forget truly how messed up we were. Listen, it doesn't matter how far deep we were. If we did drugs, we didn't do drugs. I'm just here to let you know that we still need a Savior here this night. I remember, I always thought I wasn't that far off, but I came to the conclusion, I came to realization of saying, if this is life, then I don't want it, because there has to be something more than this. Listen, hear this now, I needed nothing less than a Savior within my life, and to this day, I don't care how much Jesus does, all I care about, he's already saved me, and if he saved me, he's able to keep me here this night, and that's the one thing that keeps me going forward within each and every step, each and every night, that all I have to do is think back to the one that stepped into my life. All I have to do is remember who walked into my life when I couldn't rescue myself, when nothing else could take me out. And I believe that's the same thing that Peter thought of. If this is the same Jesus that rescued me then this is the same Jesus that is able to rescue me through the midst of the storm. And here this night, I think too many times we can forget truly all that God has done within our lives. I see too many people just get comfortable and they make a mistake of saying, I can do this without Jesus. And Peter understood who was calling him. He recognized the voice of his master. He was able to acknowledge and say, I know who that is. I remember that voice the first time. I know who that is. When no one else was able to lead me and guide me, when everyone else gave up on me, when everyone else cast stones on me, when everyone else was abandoning me, I remember who stepped into my life. I mean, here this night, do we remember? Do we acknowledge who stepped into our life? Because that's the same Jesus that is calling here this night. That's the same Jesus that is saying to take courage. That's the same Jesus that is still saying, listen, I'm in control. Don't worry about this virus or what other people are saying, but you have to worry. Your only worry is to follow me. And Peter understood this. He heard the voice. He heard the instruction. That's what I want to get into here this night, that Peter never forgot who his shepherd was. And I believe too many times we can forget who our leaders are. We can forget who our shepherds are. We can forget those that God placed over us in authority for us to be led and guided. That he still uses people. That he still uses men of God, women of God to instruct our lives. And I believe that Peter was awaiting those instructions from his shepherd. That Peter was awaiting those instructions from his Savior. And here this night, too many times, I believe that all of a sudden we don't need instructions any longer. That we become a people who say, well, I don't need to be told what to do. I can do this on myself. And we can forget the shepherds that have been placed over our lives. We can forget the leaders that have been placed over our lives. Listen, my friend, I'm just here to let you know this area is not easy. Being a pastor is not easy. Being a leader is not easy. No one asked to be a pastor. No one ever asked to be a leader. God just positions that person, and you better be right with the Lord. And I pray here this night that if someone's over you, you pray for that person. You continue to receive instructions from that person, because we see what happens as Peter received the instructions. It was then and only then that he was able to walk on water. It was only when he received the word of God, when he obeyed the word of God, that he was able to do the miraculous within that moment. And hear this now, if you want to step out on water, if you want to be able to do some miracles, you better remain obedient to the word of God. You better remain obedient to your leaders here this night. I mean, how many want to be some Christians that are able to perform miracles? How many want to be some Christians that are able to lay hands on the sick, that are still able to raise the dead, that are still able to heal the sick here this night? It comes by receiving the instructions, by obeying the instructions, because that's what Peter did. He never forgot, and he understood. He took by faith who was speaking into him, and he stood on the words of God, and he was able to walk on water. And here this night, that's where we don't see too many miracles. That's where we don't see the hand of God move within the church. Because too many people don't want to receive instructions. Too many people don't want to remain obedient. And we see no miracles happen. There is no walking on water. Because no one's following their leader. No one's coming under a shepherd any longer. So we're not receiving, and we can't obey the word. We just want to obey any word that's convenient. Any other message. This message makes me feel good, and I like that one. And this person doesn't give me conviction. They don't challenge me. They don't correct me, so I'll listen to them. My question is, do you want to walk on water? Because that's what Peter did. None of the other disciples were able to say they walked on water. I mean, we always talk about Peter and how he disowned Jesus and he put his foot in his mouth and all these other things, but Peter walked on water. I mean, what are you doing here this night? I want to be like Peter that is able to walk on water. And I want to emphasize this area of the obedience, to remain obedient in the area of leadership, if you don't have a ministry, get plugged into a church to receive an instruction. I always tell people, if you don't understand the Bible, if you don't understand prayer, just go take a command and be obedient and be blessed of God, because the Lord blesses obedience. Because Peter took the words of Jesus by faith, because Peter understood who was speaking to him. He was the only one out of all the disciples that was able to walk on water. And here this night, I believe there may be some here this night that the Lord has been speaking to you, the Lord has been dealing with you, and he's been trying to take you out of the boat. He's been trying to take you out that mess that you're in. He's been taking you out. He's been trying to take you out that only situation that only Jesus himself can take you out. But you have to believe by faith in the one that could snatch you out, that could take you out, and that can keep you out, so that you can continue once again in a walk by faith. You can continue once again walking on water. You can continue once again being obedient to your leaders, to your disciples. Continue once again performing miracles for Jesus. Because isn't that what Christianity is about? Living by faith. I mean, doing miracle, performing miracles. I still believe in miracles. I've seen that firsthand many times. I had a privilege of being a home director, praying for men by faith when I didn't know anything of what was going on. All I had was going on was faith within my life. I remember just letting people know, lift up your hands. We're going to pray by faith. Lift up your hands. All we're doing is prayer. And I would see the hand of God move there within the home. But too many people I see not wanting to remain, not being obedient. So there is no miracles. Peter is the only one that in the whole Bible, besides Jesus, that walked on water. He was able to do this because he listened to the word of God. Too many times we're scared of adversity, we're scared of the world, we're scared of what people may say, we're scared of what others are thinking, what they might say. Who cares what others think? I care of what Jesus thinks. We should worry more of how God thinks of us rather than how man sees us. We're not here to please man, we're here to please God. When you please God, you're going to disappoint some people here this night. I mean, they hated Jesus. They're the ones that put Jesus on the cross. You better believe some people are going to put you on the cross. We need to still walk by faith, not by sight. I mean, do we still? There's a scripture that says faith without works is dead. We need to stand on the word of God. Verse 28. Verse 28 goes like this, and I'm going to move quickly. It says, so Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on water towards Jesus. He did what was impossible because he followed the leading of his shepherd. I want to just go to verse 30, and I believe I'm going to come to a closing really soon. Verse 30 reads, but when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Verse 31, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why do you doubt? Unless the keyboard able to make their way. And here this night, I'm going to close out. And I wanted to share this with you here this night. Because I really wanted to emphasize. And what happens in times of doubt is that too many people leave either ministry, the things of the Lord, or Christianity. But I'm just here to let you know that I'm going to read it from the Bible. And I like this translation. Verse 31 says, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. But watch this part. Why did you doubt me? In other words, it's never really your pastor's fault. It's not the church's fault. Really what we're doing is we're blaming Jesus. See, Jesus made it personal. And he was able to dial in with Peter. And he said, Peter, we were just hanging out. You walked on water. We were together. But as soon as you got distracted and you seen the waves, you put your emphasis on the problem. You put your emphasis on the situation and you doubted me. See, no matter what's going on here this night, and there may be some big problems. I understand. Been through some areas. There may be family problems. I understand. There may be sickness. I understand there may be financial issues. I understand. But we can't doubt Jesus. Peter doubted who he was. And what happened is we see the shortest prayer in the Bible. The shortest prayer where Peter was a three-letter prayer. Save me, Lord. Even though he was close to Jesus, even though he walked on water and he performed the miracle, and even though he was there right in front of his master, he was still needed to cry out. He still needed to say, save me, Lord. A true prayer is real. Too many times we're not able to pray those type of prayers any longer because Jesus is not in front of us. Everything else is. Three words saved his life because he had to believe. It was a desperate time that made his faith strong to believe in his Savior that was able. The Bible says immediately the Lord reached out and grabbed him. The Lord allowed this to happen. Why? So Peter would have done one of two things. See, Peter could have relied on his own strength, or he could have relied on the strength of the Lord. He said, you have so little faith. And here this night, I just want to emphasize that one area, that as we continue within our walk with the Lord, we have to choose at times. Are we going to place our focus on Jesus? Or are we going to place our focus on ourselves? That even though it doesn't really matter how close we are, we're always going to need Jesus. And there's some that here watching, hear this now, you may be far away. Maybe you were on fire for God. Maybe you were serving the Lord and something happened and you drifted off. Peter just simply prayed a simple prayer. He said, Lord, save me. And Jesus never hesitated. First, he saved them. First, he reached out and grabbed them. And then he addressed them. And then he said, hey, you doubted me. But could you imagine how Peter felt as the Lord embraced him? As they went back to land. Could you imagine the story he was able to tell his friends? I seen the Lord and everyone else was scared. But I just called out. I never forgot who stepped into my life. I never forgot and I had enough faith to believe. If he rescued me, I wanted to follow him. And in the midst of following Jesus, we're going to have ups and downs. We're going to have some trip ups here or there. You're going to fall a couple times. But it's not how you fall. It's how you stand up that matters. And the Lord was just waiting. He didn't reach out for Peter until Peter cried out. And I believe here this night, he wants to rescue some of you watching. The Lord is wanting to reach out once again as they could sing a song. And all I want to do is send out an invitation right there where you're at. They're going to begin to worship the Lord. I want you to worship the Lord right here with us. I want to see yourself as that Peter that was walking closer. Are you still walking close with the Lord? Just begin to close your eyes and spend some time with the Lord. Right there where you're at, don't be afraid to call out to Jesus. Just like Peter did, as Peter said, Lord, save me. Don't be afraid to dig a little bit deeper. Don't be afraid to get a little bit closer. And some of you, you may need to ask for the Lord to cleanse and wash you, to forgive you all over again. There's no one looking here this night. Some of you just need to separate, just close your eyes, just cry out to the Lord and just to ask, God, I need you within my life. Some of you hear this now, you just need to worship the Lord, just to remain grateful, just to thank the Lord for all that he has done. right there where you are, why don't you pray with me? If you believe that the Lord has spoken, and if you truly want within your heart to begin a close relationship with the Lord, or maybe you're still following the Lord just to dig deeper, I want to invite you into this prayer. And you're not saying this prayer to me, you're saying it to the Lord. The Bible says that if you believe with your heart, if you confess with your mouth that the Lord, that Jesus is Lord, that you shall be saved. We're going to say that prayer for those that are watching, that you want to commit your life and to be like Peter and follow the Lord, to remain close to Him. I want you to say this prayer, and then we're going to pray out here this night. So close your eyes and stay focused on the Lord. I want you to see yourself walking on water. I want you to see yourself performing miracles. I want you to see yourself filled on fire for the Lord. I want you to see yourself in faith of what the Lord can do, of how He wants to use our lives. He's waiting for a Peter to rise up again. He's waiting for that vessel that He can fill here this night. I believe there is some Peters that are watching. Right there where you are, repeat after me. Just say, Jesus, I need you. I thank you for your word. I believe by faith in who you are. So rescue me. I receive of your healing. Fill me of your spirit. I pray that I can walk on water, that you can use my life to perform miracles for your honor and glory. I give you my life in the name of Jesus. Father, right now, here this night, thank you. I love you. I give you all glory and honor. I pray for those that just called out to you, for those that heard your word. And my prayers for those tuning in, and still for those that may watch later on, I ask, my God, as they said this prayer, and those that just listen to your word. And God, I pray that you cleanse, that you wash away. I pray that you cover our minds and hearts. And as we close out, I pray let us leave with a measure of faith. Increase our faith by your word to continue and trust in you, Lord. To not see ordinary, to not see normal as usual, but to see by faith of what we can do in you. To see by faith of your miraculous working power. To see by faith the miracles you desire to pour out in and through our lives. For you are a great God. You are a mighty God. And we desire to live out what your word says, that we are able to walk on water as we listen to your word, remaining obedient to your ways. I pray here this night of your healing upon all our lives, your spiritual, physical healing strength, Lord God, that you pour out upon your church. And again, I pray for those tuning in, Lord, to continue to bless their houses, their homes, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give Jesus a big, big hand of praise here this night. Come on, shout right there in your very own houses. Amen. Don't be afraid to thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, right now we're going to close out. But again, I just want to challenge you, encourage you. Take some moments as we're going to log out. Spend with the Lord. Just pray right there where you're at, a few extra seconds, a minute. Spend some time, read the Bible for a little bit, and begin that personal relationship with the Lord. Once again, we thank you for tuning in. We want to welcome you this Sunday at 10 a.m. to join us live on Facebook. God bless you, and we love you.